Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail.
Hey, folks, and thanks for tuning in today. I am Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Angela Bozo, and we are your hosts.
And we're so grateful for all of you who've been with us over the past 3 years of the Buyer's Desk.
And a big welcome to those of you who just joined us this year as we shifted to shorter weekly episodes.
So today, we're digging into the archives to bring back some of our favorite conversations served up in that shorter format.
Thanks for listening, and keep tuning in each week for more stories and maybe even a few sneak peeks at season 4 coming in January 2026. Hi, and welcome to the Buyer's Desk. I'm Angela Bozo, your host for today, and I am joined by Ryan Honeyman. He is a partner at Lyft Economy and an all-around B Corp expert. How's it going today, Ryan?
Pretty good, Angela.
Thrilled to have you on the episode and knew I couldn't do your full intro justice. So if you would not mind taking the mic, like, let us know who you are and why we should listen to you talk about B Corp.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me on. So I'm a B Corp nerd, self-described. I've been in the B Corp movement since 2011. My company, Lyft Economy, we're a certified B Corporation. And pretty early days, I have helped about 100 different companies certify and recertify as B Corporations, co-author of the B Corp Handbook. And we have a podcast called Beyond the B, which is about the B Corp movement. And I've worked with several infra or companies, including BuyRight Market. And back in the day, Cornucopia Natural Foods was a B Corp. I worked with them and worked with Erewhon. I know Erewhon's not a infra member, but also just another sort of natural products retailer.
Yeah, no, we like Erewhon. Erewhon's rad. Wonderful. I love you called yourself a B Corp nerd because I feel like so many people come on this podcast and describe themselves as a grocery nerd. So it's like, it's very cool, the intersection of grocery and B Corp. Let's start off with just a big general question. I'm a grocery retailer. I'm interested in B Corp certification. Like, tell me where to start. What do I care about? Like, navigate that landscape for me.
Sure. So yeah, the B Corp movement is really looking at three components of your company. So the first is high standards of social and environmental performance. And so the way that B Lab and the B Corp certification measure that is through an online platform where you insert, you know, your information. This is these practices for community or these practices for governance or environment. And so that's one component. Another component is the legal requirement of B Corporation. And so what that means is you, in addition to meeting this performance requirement where you insert stuff into this online platform, you also make some changes to your legal structure to incorporate your mission so that's durable for the long term. So I know, you know, many infra members are thinking about legacy and, you know, transition planning and what comes next. You know, B Corp is a way to keep that original social and environmental mission baked into your DNA of your business. And then the third component is community. You know, it's a community of companies. There's around 10,000, maybe about 22,000, 2,500 in the US and Canada, and a lot in Europe and South America, growing in Asia. And so it's a global movement to redefine success in business.
I have always felt like that kind of succession planning, keep in place the thing that you like, that was the passionate origin of your business, always felt like a really compelling reason to me. What other reasons are you finding that people pursue B Corp certification?
Yeah. Well, especially for, you know, infra members or others in the natural product space, it's just, you're obviously dealing with a consumer that wants that type of ethos. So they look for organic, they look for fair trade, they look for non-GMO, and they look for B Corp certification. And a lot of the brands that a lot of your, you know, your members probably sell are B Corps, you know, from Dr. Bronner's, Patagonia Provisions, Ben & Jerry's, King Arthur Flour, et cetera, et cetera. You kind of go down the list of a lot of high impact companies. A lot of them are B Corps. So I'd say the one reason is just, you know, creating more of that brand sort of connection for consumers of like, we're doing something different and we want to be part of, you know, business for good. And so that's one big component. It's sort of like that brand component. Another component, I think, for a lot of retailers is going to be attracting and retaining the top talent. So retail is high turnover. You know, it's probably better for infra members and, you know, natural products, but it's still a challenge. And so how do you attract and retain millennials, Gen Z? You know, I have kids too, and I think they're Gen Alpha. Luckily, they're not in the workforce yet, but it's like they want brands that care about social and environmental impact. And so B Corp is another way to really differentiate. And then I think the last thing would just be another community building component. You know, infra is awesome. And, you know, a lot of brands do some community building, but I think B Corp is a way to also transcend industries. So it's not just retailers, or it's also manufacturers. It's also, you know, service companies. And so you can really be part of this global cross-sector movement for business for good.
Oh my gosh, yes. We are, I mean, you know, people say about infra, they come for the deals, they stay for the community. 100%, I feel like the B-Lab community events that I have participated in my life were just amazing, like peer-to-peer connection pieces. And I don't know, just speaking sort of broadly about humanity and like, you know, how challenging it actually is to build connections when you do get people together that have some shared beliefs, that is a really lovely benefit. I like that you highlighted that. Is there anything like, so I'm a retailer, I'm listening to this at home, I feel good about my mission and vision, but I'm not really sure if I want to, like, you know, go down some stringent certification path. Like, I don't know, would you like, I know you referenced the online form and that kind of thing, but would you give me a sense of like kind of a more of an elevator pitch around the complexity of B Corp certification?
Yeah. So I guess there's two answers to this. One is there's the existing set of standards that is good for the next, let's see, it's through the end of 2025. So if you are a retailer that's interested in B Corp certification, there's sort of two timelines that you can choose from. So one is if you want to move somewhat quickly, there are some benefits because the existing assessment is going to be sunsetted in January of 2026. And the existing assessment is looking at things like workers, governance, community, environment, customers. And you get to choose your own adventure in terms of how you want to fill it out. So for example, if you pay a living wage, you get points. But if you don't pay a living wage, that's fine. You have to, you know, you can get points in other sections, like maybe you have solar panels or maybe you have good community engagement. So there's, you can kind of create your own pathway to the minimum score you need for certification. So that's one option. And then what's coming in January is B-Lab has basically shifted to a new set of standards over the last 3 years. It's been a longer process. And the reason is because, you know, while choose your own adventure is fun and like it can be sort of like a way that matches where businesses are at, B-Lab has also realized that, you know, there are certain larger societal and climate risks that we're facing, especially around climate change, you know, where we don't really want companies to choose whether to look at something like energy efficiency or carbon. So the new standards are looking at 7 categories that all B Corps will need to do. And so that's things like circularity and environment, climate action, governance, and collective action. It's looking at justice, equity, diversity, inclusion, purpose, and stakeholder governance. And so as a retailer, if you're on this new version of the assessment, you have to actually meet minimum standards in all of them. So it's, I guess I would say the current slash standards that are going to be sunsetted are going to be probably easier for companies to certify on. And so I'd recommend, and I know Infra, you probably speak to this, Angela is potentially looking at it. So I think if you're on the fence of whether to do B Corp or not, there's a window of time where it's a good idea to actually go for it because it's really going to get a little bit more stringent next year.
Awesome. Would you define circularity for me?
Yeah, I think circularity is just extending the life of trying to go from instead of cradle to grave, you know, more of like a cradle to cradle approach. And how that might look for a retailer, you might be thinking, oh God, what does that mean? It varies a little bit by industry. So if you're a manufacturer, it might be using a larger percentage of recycled content in your products. It might be trying to look at, you know, how do we waste less? So the new standards are not requiring, you know, retailers or any B Corp to suddenly have, you know, no waste and like, you know, be completely circular, but there are some minimum standards within that they will be requiring. And, you know, I think it's just more of considering circularity in your operations. So, you know, I imagine for retailers, it's like, you know, I worked with Sam and Calvin at BuyRite. And one of the things that we looked at was, you know, the packaging and the pallets that are coming in. It's like, how can we reduce the amount of just like plastic everywhere and things like that on like shipping containers? And so there's different ways to get at it for a retailer, but it's not going to be like, yeah, you don't have to suddenly have only 100% recycled, capture all waste, everything. It's gradual.
Yeah. No, I love thinking about the standards evolving. And I also appreciate feeling like they're going to get higher as we feel like we know more. I was working for New Seasons Market when we became the world's first certified B Corp. It was so cool. My department specifically had a lot of really interesting decisions to make. You know, there was this piece of, you know, we did a lot of sampling with consumers. And so we used a lot of paper goods. And so did we want to go compostable? And if we did that, could we do that? Like, you know, could they actually compost in the areas where the stores were? And then how did we feel about the water usage? And I just remember thinking, like, there isn't a right answer here. And there was definitely a piece of it that felt like, well, you need to decide what you care about. So given that, do you feel like the new standards will help direct some of those conversations?
Yeah, it's a great question. I do think they will direct some of those things that are what B-Lab is considering material or like the highest impact areas. So carbon, like climate action, we could take that one. So what B-Lab is asking companies to do is at least measure your scope 1 and 2 greenhouse gas emissions, which just means like your the sort of stuff you burn on site. So electricity, or, you know, you're measuring your electricity use if you use any natural gas. And, you know, I don't think many retailers are like burning. There's no like on-site energy production. Maybe there is on some, I don't know. But so it's like for the first time, many companies will be asked to like, hey, this is a really key component of building the future we want. So let's actually just get a benchmark of where we are and then maybe make some plans to improve it over time. So yeah, I do think directionally, B-Lab is kind of nudging companies towards the material or just biggest impact areas that they think are needed to address.
Yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me as part of a certification to have a standard and say, this is a standard that we stand behind. Because again, there's just so many ways we could look at so many of these issues. So excited to see those standards. You know, one of the things that we have specifically tried to highlight for some of our members that, you know, aren't in this business because they are, you know, they don't have an environmental or a social platform necessarily, is that a lot of the things that you would put in place in order to achieve B Corp certification not only are going to be more sustainable, but they're also really operationally effective and sometimes will even save you some money. And I'm wondering if you could speak to, maybe you've worked with a company that, you know, cared about the certification, but there were probably people on the team that maybe had a more operational mindset. And like, are there things that come up for you that can kind of speak to that person that's maybe a little bit more in the middle, but would like that kind of efficiency piece that this would garner for them?
Yeah. Well, definitely just, you know, what gets measured gets accomplished, like this whole thing, right? Like what you manage, what you measure. So I think energy usage for a lot of stores, it's just sort of, we just pay the bill. We don't really think about it. So this can be a way to just have a way to see some operational efficiency there of like, hey, maybe there's some things like a lighting retrofit. You know, there might be some, like I know in the Bay Area, I'm not sure how widespread this is, but there's a lot of like PG&E where we are will subsidize the cost of a lighting retrofit for your facility. And so there's ways to lower the cost. you know, looking at empowering employees to have this lens of sustainability or social impact, you know, maybe beyond what's already built into a lot of natural product companies of like, hey, these are some key areas. You know, employees are really good at finding efficiencies, especially if you create, for example, a B Corp team or an impact team. You know, get those employees who are already sort of super interested in sustainability and impact. Like those are great ones to put on a B Corp team. Say, hey, let's continue to identify efficiencies. I think attracting and retaining people, there's components of like looking at the hiring process and looking at operational policies. You know, a lot of companies are just growing. You know, we're all just trying to survive in many ways of just like putting together one foot before the other. It's like, we don't know, have that many plans for next week, next month. It's just like, let's just survive. And I think B Corp is a great way. And I think you were mentioning this, to sort of get in some of those basic policies and procedures and systems that are just good business, like regardless of it's like impact or not. It's like, hey, do we have a, what is our purchasing policy? And, you know, should we formalize that? You know, you could have from Buy Right Markets or beautiful, like, you know, very fleshed out purchasing guidelines that it's like a model for everyone, to companies that are just sort of, you know, just trying to make it work. I think there's something in between that can be helpful to like build up some of those policies and procedures to be more efficient.
Yeah, actually, I always think of it as like, there's still like an interesting profitability here for you. But I love thinking of that as like, this gives you an opportunity to take a more macro view, to like step back for a minute, you know, like your sales are going well, things are okay. But like, if that's not true in a year, wouldn't it be great to have taken the time now to feel like you at least, you know, understand some of those operational like pieces that you've put in place a little better? Like, yeah, that's a great take. All right, Ryan, when I invited you to be on this podcast, I assume you had some assumption about what we would be talking about today. I think we've given our listeners like a really great overview, but I have to ask, like, when I invited you on, was there anything that you wanted to talk about that didn't come up?
That's a great question. I definitely think the new standards are a big thing. You know, it's coming, depending on when this, I think this podcast comes out in March. And so the new standards will be released mid to late March. And so if you are a infra member thinking about it, or just, you know, in the retail space, definitely keep your eye out for the new standards. I also think there's something to be said for, you know, in our national like political situation, regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, I think there's something to be said for continuing to like deepen commitment to impact, but and also community, because we all sort of really need each other right now, you know, as evidenced by, you know, what's going on just around the world. And so this is another community building, another positive force component, a way to get people excited and engaged and try to keep things positive and moving in the right direction. And so that's what I'd say too, is just, I think that what a lot of us have been missing is like greater sense of community. And I know the infra provides that. And so this is just another way for folks to double down on that like sense of shared community building.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, even regardless of it being 2025 and what things are going on, I think it is hard to be a human on this planet and make great connections, even though the last 20 years of happiness research have really proven to us that that is exactly what we need. It is a huge challenge. It is a fascinating thing to, you know, have a lot of information and then not always know exactly how to act on it, despite overwhelming evidence that it's great, right?
Totally.
All right, Ryan, let's say a member is listening to this and they would like to get in touch with you. What would be the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So as I mentioned in the intro, I help companies certify and recertify as B Corps. So if you're interested in a sort of guide to help you, like I said before, I've done it with several natural food retailers and natural product companies. So lifteconomy.com. My email is ryan@lifteconomy, lifteconomy.com. I'll mention the Beyond the Bee podcast again. If you want to sort of nerd out on B Corp stuff, there's the Beyond the Bee podcast. And maybe just one more sort of blurb is we also have a program at Lyft called the Next Economy MBA. So if you're interested, or maybe you have employees who are interested in sort of what is a business education that looks like, that would help people build the skills they need to create an economy that works for all, The Next Economy MBA is a 9-month learning journey that we do twice per year. And there's one coming up in the spring and the fall. And so if folks are interested, lifteconomy.com/MBA.
Amazing. I really enjoyed your podcast, Beyond the Bee, and I will definitely continue to dive into some of those episodes. You guys are pretty prolific so far. I love it. I cannot thank you enough for your time today, Ryan. I really appreciate you being on the show, highlighting these things. I would love to have you back as INFRA continues to pursue our own B Corp certification. And as we get the new standards up and out, maybe we revisit this conversation in the next, I don't know, handful of months and like, see, I would love your take on it. I feel like if I were sitting here feeling like I was an expert on something that was about to change radically, that would be a whole fascinating journey. So I'm interested to follow up with you on that. Thank you so much for joining us today and take care.
Thanks so much.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible INFRA staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.